What an absurd football game.
Oh, man. I tell you what, that we had to edit that down. Greg did. Great job on the editing, because that one could have taken the entire first segment.
Yeah, just take him to 10 o'clock. I mean, there was enough absurd, great plays from special teams to the offense to the defense with four turnovers, and the Lions are now 6-1 for the first time since 1956. Lions Victory Monday starts right now. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Greg, and Gov behind the glass. John, you are wearing...
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
What is this?
This is my Redskins blazer. All right. And when I got this, I played with them when they were the Redskins. Yeah. I got this. They were still the Redskins. I was named one of the 80 greatest to play for the franchise. So they gave me this one when they brought me back. And I thought, no better time to wear it than today. My Commanders yesterday helping out the Lions with the Hail Mary. I was going bonkers. I woke up the entire house when that happened.
Once upon a time, that play would have happened to us. Once upon a time, the crazy bounce, Hail Mary. I know. Not anymore. We are living in the good old days now. We are living in the good times right now. Everything came up Lions yesterday. Even when early in the game, Tennessee was making some plays and throwing the ball around, Detroit would answer every single time. Yeah. And John, they scored 52 points.
Can I have a moment?
Please.
All right. I do want to revel in this one, because this isn't me and my history with the Washington franchise. This is now, it's part of that. And it's always remained part of my story. But now that obviously everything is coming up, as you mentioned, it's all coming up Lions. It's all coming up gold for the Lions. This is the call for the Bears and the Commanders. And I had no idea the impact or what went into that play, because as soon as it happens, right, I'm rewinding. I'm like, okay, who tips the ball? Tyrique Stevenson, number 29, tips the ball into the hands of an awaiting Commanders receiver for the touchdown. And I didn't know this until much later, until all of our social media finally starts to kick in. And there was somebody in the stands that was videotaping the entire thing. And you can see Tyrique Stevenson, as the play begins, he's taunting, because they're in FedEx Field, he's taunting the Washington fans, you know, that they went down and they scored the last, 29 seconds left on the clock. And the play is snapped. He's still taunting the fans, back turned. And about 2 seconds into the play, finally turns around, realizes that the play is going on, and decides that he's going to saunter over. And then all of a sudden, the urgency hits as he sees the ball in the air, sprints over, gets a hand on the ball, and tips it to an awaiting Commanders receiver. In the end zone, touchdown, you lose, losers! I mean, that is... It is something that would happen to the Lions. Now, I don't necessarily know. Maybe back in the day, right? And I say back in the day, 4 years ago or more, we would have had somebody that would have been taunting the crowd, because we're going to win a game. But for that to happen, and for him to be the one to tip the ball and right into the awaiting arms and give up the touchdown, it was perfect. And on the flip side, my initial reaction is, one, yes, okay, Commanders win. But second, it's a division opponent. It is the Bears losing the best division in football, and now the Lions have another one up on another team.
And I happen to think that they are going to take care of business in this division and don't need any help. And as someone holding Bears laying 2.5, it was a brutal beat. But yeah, nobody wants good things for Chicago. Nobody wants good things for the Bears.
Mm. That is a bad beat.
It's a terrible beat.
Ooh.
Did you have Washington? I think you did. Oh, you flipped the coin, so who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think most of us had the Bears.
I had it.
Of course you did.
Yes.
Tom did too.
Of course.
You're recording everybody's picks.
No, I just remember that he and I both had Commanders, because he looked at me and was like, yeah.
Yeah, the nice coin pick. Flip didn't come up for me, I don't think.
Heather's Rocket.
Doesn't matter. I'll take the win.
I know you will at this point. Take whatever you can get. Heather's rocking her Lions hoodie today. How was the household watching that game yesterday?
We had so much going on yesterday. We were kind of watching it in all different rooms. We also had like furniture being moved in the house, so that was happening. It was crazy. I was upstairs. Colin was in the basement. We watched it separately.
The game itself, right? Lions are now 6-1 for the first time since the mid-50s. And John, just a couple things that made that extra absurd, right? At one point, the Lions had scored 6 touchdowns with 9 team passing yards. 9 passing yards. They had scored 6 touchdowns.
Look at the numbers.
What?
It's so absurd.
John, they finished with 61 passing yards, which takes into account sacks.
Right.
61 passing yards, and they scored 52 points. They had over 250 yards of returns, kick returns and punt returns, and the offense once again scored more touchdowns than they had incomplete passes. I mean, the defense forced 4 turnovers. It was... The Lions clearly didn't take their opponent lightly. Well, the Lions clearly are built in a way where they come out there and it doesn't matter the opponent. They are going to saw your head off. They will decapitate everybody they play on every single Sunday. Like, that was a statement. I know it's not a Minnesota level statement because it's not, you know, first place on the line, but it's a different kind of statement when you go in there and you do not relent no matter who the opponent is.
I mean, foot on the gas from the moment go. And it doesn't matter. And Dan Campbell said this. Hey, that they're still a good football team. And it doesn't matter what their record is when they show up. And it's probably even more dangerous because the target on the Lions' back continues to grow. And don't you think Mason Rudolph, and this is the way that they came out, Mason Rudolph, Calvin Ridley, everybody wanted to be that guy that made the play to beat the Detroit Lions and knock them down a notch. Because right now, they're atop the pedestal. And that's what teams are going to continue to do. So they came out fighting. They came out scrapping.
But to the Lions' credit, it's not like that put them on their heels or they said, uh-oh, here we go again. It was immediate responses. It's 70-yard touchdowns. It's trick plays. It's David Montgomery throwing a touchdown. Like, John, they clown everybody. Every single week, they clown everybody.
But the numbers are so absurd. So if you went into it saying, okay, Jared Goff only throws for 85 yards, yet you win 52-14. Wait, what? Did he get hurt? Is he going to be okay? And David Montgomery, who is so the tone setter for this team, 9 carries, 33 yards. Oh, man, that defense for Tennessee must have been unbelievable. Amon-Ra St. Brown, in the absence of Jameson Williams, only has 2 catches for 7 yards, and they still win by, 52-14? What the hell happened? What world are we living in? I still kind of wonder what world we're living in where the Lions are 6-1.
And you'd have to dig really deep if you weren't paying attention. How did this happen? Short fields.
Yeah.
Special teams and takeaways, short fields. And then Detroit executed on all of those short fields and put it in the end zone.
That's the thing. It's okay. So this is one where you throw out the numbers, other than the special team numbers, because that's the reason this game got out of hand. Special teams were magnificent yesterday, but you throw out all of and you say, okay, well, what's the high and the low of Jared Goff's passing games? And you say, oh, 85. That's a terrible game. Well, no, it's not a terrible game. It's not a terrible game by David Montgomery or Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's the fact that they had short fields, so you're not going to have a lot of yardage. It's the fact that they took advantage of every single opportunity. Why did they lose the Tampa game?
They didn't capitalize in the red zone.
7 trips in the red zone, and they didn't capitalize. And they only needed one more. Now, all of a sudden, how does a team get better? Well, when you get opportunities, you capitalize on them because you never know in the NFL who could step up and beat you. And if they don't capitalize, that might have been an absolute battle yesterday.
Open lines, 248-539-9797. Lions win Victory Monday. It's 97-1.
Hey, when I needed a new furnace and AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment and prices. There's a couple of things I love the most, though. The biggest difference is their customer service, and the second one is always the fact that I know I've got that 5-year warranty, so I know I'm covered. Doesn't matter what happens. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. In fact, they just were over at my parents' house. New tub. and fixed everything up. They even offer generators. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast installation. And I kept telling them, Mom, you got to tell them. Got to tell them I sent you. They got the $500. They also offer same-day service. If you want more information, you can find them on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
Lions roll, Lions win. It's a victory Monday, 6-1, and did not take their opponent lightly. 52 points for the Lions. Let's get to the phones. Devel in Madison Heights, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
That's good. So I'm thinking that this season for the Lions, it's just eerily similar to the 1991 season, but in reverse. Just follow me for a second. So in 91, Washington was 14-2, the number one seed, rolling over everybody. They had a quarterback named Mark Rippon, who was by no means a Hall of Fame quarterback, but was playing out of his mind that year. Then you had the number two seed, the Detroit Lions, up-and-coming team nobody saw coming, playing with house money and little fool's gold that year. You know, they beat who they had to beat, but they got blown out of Washington first game, 1-5 in a row, got blown out in San Francisco, lost to Chicago, was a dominant team in the North that year, or the Central.
So how is this the reverse?
So now this year, now Detroit is the dominant team now in the conference. It's early yet, but we're the dominant team with a quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback, but a good quarterback who's playing out of his mind. We're the number one seed. Now Washington is the up-and-coming number two seed. Mm. No one saw coming at all. They're playing with house money, no fool's gold. I mean, with a little fool's gold. Mm-hmm. They beaten who they supposed to beat. The team that was real competition to them was Baltimore, and they lost that game. So it's early yet, but this is shaping out to be exactly like 91 in reverse. So I see Detroit finishing like 14-3, number one seed. Washington probably 12-5. Washington can come up to Detroit in a conference title game, get blown out 42-10, sure. Lions win the Super Bowl. Exactly. How do you like that scenario?
I would love it to end exactly the way that did.
What did he say?
I think he said 14 wins, John. And I noticed you perked up a little bit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 14-3? Wow. I mean, who would pick something like that? And I was
only
asked,
a big homer, right?
I was asked earlier if the doors to the bus were open for Jim Costa and if he would want to be on the bus. And I said, the doors aren't open right now. And maybe at the end, I think Thursday, I'll open the doors. Tom and I, who are driving the bus, and we'll take all that want to get on. The 14-3, call it the bandwagon. It's the high school bus that is off to the playoff games, and then everybody else is following behind them with their headlights on. It's the procession. Because it's not open right now because nothing has really changed. Why would I allow you to get? Why would you even get on? Because they haven't made any determination on what they're doing with the edge. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We'll talk about the edge, what the Lions need to do, and how urgent it is becoming. But I'm not going to let you on, and I don't think you'd get on because nothing has changed.
I was going to say, you could call me stubborn.
Other than the win.
Yeah, I thought they'd win, right? I mean, I picked them to win by
Tennessee,
more than 10 points. Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't fundamentally change the win-loss record. It does say a lot about this team that they didn't win by a little, they won by a lot, that they didn't take their opponent lightly. But in terms of 14 wins in the math to get to 14, I do want to see what they do at the deadline, and we could revisit this later in the week.
There are 7 days for you to get on the bus. There'll be two opportunities. Thursday, we'll have the discussion. You want to get on the bus. And then Monday.
All right, because today.
Because it may take a matter of trust. Because the trade deadline is Tuesday, election day, I believe at 4:00. And at that point, I believe it will be too late for you to believe. Because I got on the bus eventually before the Tigers had actually made the postseason. I got on before it was a foregone conclusion. So at some point, it was a matter of trust.
Sure.
Now I'm going to ask for you to have a matter of trust. Will Brad Holmes do the right thing?
My obvious takeaway from this game is he has to. Like, this team, this could be such a special team. Already kind of feels like a special team. Do everything in your power to deliver a Super Bowl to Detroit. We got calls to get to. 248-539-9797. We've got Heather's news as well.
Boys, people turned out to vote on the first day of statewide early in-person voting. More than 145,000 Michigan voters cast their ballot on Saturday. Did either of you guys get out there early? I know we talked about it last week.
Lisa was in line at 9 o'clock.
Good
when
for her.
The,
yeah?
When the voting started. I have not yet. I am going to this week. My plan is Wednesday.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, yes. After work, when the lines will probably be a little less than they were on the weekend.
Yep.
So early voting continues daily, including Sundays through November 3rd. So yes, you can plan ahead.
Yeah.
We talked about going on Saturday. Ultimately, the weekend got carried away. We didn't have time to go, but I do plan on going early. And people who went early on Saturday said basically what we're talking about. They wanted to avoid long lines and the stress of finding time to go around work on election day, right? This gives you some wiggle room, gives you more time to decide when to go. Some said they were just, you know, eager to go vote. They were excited to vote. Others said they were going to be out of town on election day. So this was perfect. Yeah. They were able to still go in person. So get out there and vote. Now, instead of watching the game from home, Aiden Hutchinson watched the Lions dominate the Titans from Ford Field for the first time since he suffered that, you know, nasty injury. He was there in attendance to support his team. He was shown up on the big screen, right, during the first quarter. He was sitting there. He had his leg elevated, and people were excited to see him. They cheered with excitement when they saw him up there. So
they actually talked about it on the broadcast because it was at a random time, and then you heard the crowd go nuts.
Yeah.
So Moose, you know, had to say, if you're wondering why the crowd is going nuts, they just showed Aiden Hutchinson on the big screen. So I'm glad he was there.
Yes, for sure. Now, speaking of Lions fans, they were back at Eastern Market on Sunday for the first tailgate since that double fatal shooting took place last month. And a lot of the people who were there said they felt safe and they still had a great time. There were new regulations in place. Eastern Market is now a weapon-free zone. And all guests in attendance now must have a ticket to tailgate. But those who were there said, hey, we had a great time, felt safer than ever. Some said there was a little different vibe, right? But said ultimately it was still a great time. And they think that once these new regulations are in place, some of these, you know, rules might ease up a little bit. Either way, it sounded like everyone had a good time. You may remember last week that police in Ferndale were on the hunt for a groper on a bike. Remember this story?
Yeah.
So far, four women have come forward to report that they were touched inappropriately by a man on a bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, police have identified not a man, but a child linked all four cases. I don't know how old that child is, but I'm guessing under 18 to be considered a kid.
Yeah.
They say they've identified a child, and they say that child has been arrested. So, yikes.
The ride-by.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Every year, Americans buy tens of millions of pumpkins to carve, to decorate, to paint for Halloween, of course. And after Halloween, a lot of people just say, all right, Halloween's over. Let's throw these pumpkins in the garbage. And there they go, off to landfills where they then sit there, they rot, and then they release methane. So instead of throwing your pumpkins in the garbage, there's lots of other options you can do this year. You can compost them. You can just go and have like a smash fest and just smash them. Or you can donate them and feed them to farm animals.
Whatever, some zoos will
take them too.
Yeah, because they could use them to feed the animals. Mm-hmm. They use them for compost as well. I suggest two of the three. Smashing them and then leaving them for compost. But you got to make sure you smash them in the right spot.
Right.
Yes.
Obviously.
Right. Because if they still have all the seeds in them, you may end up with a nice pumpkin patch yourself, depending on where
Correct.
You compost
Correct.
Them. So yes. Remove those seeds first.
Heather.
Oh, no. You don't have to pay for a pumpkin next year.
Right.
Yeah,
sure.
True.
Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, I see you guys on hold. We'll get to you. Lions win again. It's 97-1. Dan Campbell, who else? Firing them up after the game. That's what champions do. We'll get to the phones, 248-539-9797. Weekend overreactions at 7:02. If you want a little Michigan, Michigan State, we'll work it in. But the Lions are the headline. They are 6-1. They put 52 on the board yesterday, and they did it throwing for 61 yards. Special teams, turnovers, red zone execution. Lions beat up and battered the Titans. What was the Twitch message we got?
Oh, somebody watched a great movie over the weekend, and it was called Dismember the Titans.
There you go.
Love our Twitchers. Thank you very much. And once the cameras are turned on, you can hear us now. Can't see us, but once the cameras are turned on, you'll get a chance to see these this wonderful Washington Blazer.
Yeah. Marcus in East Point, good to hear from you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, man, I'm loving it. We just completely dismantled the last four teams we played. It wasn't even close. Yesterday was I thought Dallas was the most fun I had watching the Lions, but yesterday was crazy. It was like everybody scoring. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. And Khalif Raymond was on fire yesterday. I really enjoyed the game. Only question I got for John is, are they number one yet? I still think that I asked you this for the last 4 weeks. Kansas City keeps winning. I understand they're champions, but they're barely winning. We're spanking teams. And I like 14, but I think 15 might happen. But you guys enjoy your day.
All right, Marcus.
And, John, I want to see the Lions number one in the power rankings.
So, obviously, you got them at number one, 6:35 Wednesday. You'll find out if I have them number one.
It's tough because Casey just keeps winning, and I understand his point. It's not the level of convincing. The Lions are putting up 40 and now 50 points. They're running trick plays. They're clowning. Ben Johnson said the well is deep with these trick plays. I believe him. I think he's got like 1,000 of these plays. It's ridiculous.
And at some point, you mentioned it's a level of convincing. To me, it's at some point during the season, it has to be a matter of conviction. Are you so bought in from what you have now seen with your own eyes? Do you believe the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL, not just the NFC North, not just the NFC, but AFC, NFC, every division, every team? Are they number one of 32?
Let's get back to the phones. Marlo in Detroit, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. First of all, congratulations on a great Lions win. It showed us two things. The Lions are, first of all, playing very complimentary football in all three phases of the game was the first thing it showed us. The second thing it showed us is that we are in desperate need of help with the pass rush, because I believe had we been playing against a decent quarterback, it would have been much harder. We may have even lost that game. We desperately need help in the pass rush. One more thing to say, everybody in the league is trying Lions-type trick plays, and it just ain't working out for them. I love it.
Marlo,
you're right on both points. You're right on how much fun it is and no one can do what the Lions are doing, and you're also right about the fact that it would be negligent for them not to do something about the edge position.
Was he referring to the Bears offensive lineman running the football yesterday?
Oh, God.
Because it's that. I think that might have been the one. Unbelievable.
Too cute.
Guys, my quick takeaway is we are seeing, this is kneecaps. This entire thing is kneecaps. They're such a team. They're such a cohesive unit. You mentioned the Hail Mary debacle by the Bears defensive back yesterday. The Lions would never have a player on the field acting that way, where he's already celebrating the win and taunting the fans, and he's not in on the play until he goes over and tips the ball to the guy who caught it and beat you. Caleb Williams' behavior on the sideline yesterday, thinking, wow, I just won this game with this team. Yeah, you were 10 of 24 passing, dude. You didn't win the game. The running back scored on the play. So I just think the mentality of the team, the culture, everything, this is... It's 53 all in.
When you have this culture, and then you have what happened at the end of the year last year, this is the focus that you get when you're up 17, you think you're going to the Super Bowl, and you don't. Now all of a sudden, it's Penei Sewell who has watched that game, and it angered him. And it's the rest of the it's the core of guys. Yes, there are new guys on this roster that weren't a part of that. They didn't feel that, but they feel it through the guys that were there. The sense of urgency for this team we are seeing, especially after what happened last year, and then they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I guarantee you, if you ask all of those guys right now, that one eats at them.
Well, the need, though, the caller alluded to, it's so clear and obvious that they need a pass rusher to just make sure that this does happen, I think, you know, that they fulfill their destiny. I really believe this is coming down to, if you don't address it, when you finally play the top quarterbacks in the league, whether it be Mahomes or Jackson,
it's going to cost you.
It's going to cost them. And it's just so obvious for Brad Holmes to do this that I believe it would be a total failure if he didn't make at least a semi-significant move.
Yeah, it just feels like you're in F them picks mode, or at least you should be, right? You are at the very top of the mountain here. And I don't really see a point in keeping a draft pick when you can go win a Super Bowl. I mean, I just think that point gets drilled in every single time you watch this team. Do not let this season go to waste.
And I think yesterday should have been an eye-opener about the edge. And we heard from Dan Campbell last week.
Yeah, it's not a secret.
It's not a secret. And he identified it as, yeah, we need help. We're not getting enough production. They didn't do anything last week. Now all of a sudden it gets Tennessee. Okay, and they're not going to gloss over it. I'm sure we'll hear it again from Dan today. We'll hear it when we talk to him tomorrow. Even though they won 52-14, it wasn't because of pressure on the quarterback. And Mason Rudolph, is he a good backup? Yeah, I think he's a reliable backup. Could come in and make some plays, maybe get you out of the game, do all the things that we talk about for backup quarterbacks. But I think it also identifies the fact that if you give almost any quarterback in this league time, whether it's a starting quarterback or a backup quarterback, they will pick you apart. What did he do with Calvin Ridley in the first quarter? I mean, it was 118 yards in the first quarter, and that's Mason Rudolph. Now, Calvin Ridley, I think, is a good route runner. He's a good receiver. He hasn't been as productive, and it's the whole gambling thing. Yeah, but that should be a huge eye-opener to everyone that unless you pressure quarterbacks in the NFL, almost every single one of them are going to pick you apart. Fortunately, they had some great plays on special teams that put this game out of reach, put Mason Rudolph and the Tennessee Titans in a position that wasn't favorable for them to operate their offense.
Yeah, and they got some opportunistic takeaways too, which has got to be part of this deal. I thought Amik Robertson got picked on a little bit, but in fairness, if they're getting a little more pressure, you don't have the time to pick on any weak spot in a given secondary. 248-539-9797 is the number. We've got Keith in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Hey, John, this is what I'm concerned about is Decker. He didn't give up 5 sacks in the last 2 weeks. And he could have caused Jeff Goff's injury. And I do agree that they need a pass rusher bad. If they're going to take it to the next level, they're going to have to correct the offensive line. The running game is good, but the pass protection was awful yesterday. And the edge rusher, Pascal was out, and I'm concerned about his health because, you know, he had cancer in the foot. And so that's my take. But other than that, they obliterated the Titans, and they've been winning by 35 points the last 4 games. So I'm not too concerned, but I'm concerned about Decker and the defense pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit more in the next segment. I am mildly concerned, Keith, with you about Taylor Decker and his the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he gave up 2 sacks yesterday, right? Yeah. One early in the game, and then Goff's taping up his ankle. We don't want to see anything like that.
Right.
We'll get a little more into that coming up next. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Lions, all in mode now. It's clear as day. This team is that good. This team is that special. It's 97.1. We're smiling on a victory Monday, thinking about your smile. Brightside Dental. Fall is here. Don't be one of the millions of Americans that let those dental benefits go to waste at the end of the year. Give Brightside Dental a call. Get in for an exam or a cleaning, whatever you need. Appointments available this month and November and December. 8 Metro Detroit locations and the Trenton location opening next week. Give them a call, 1-800-PAINLESS. Visit brightsidedental.com. If you're subconscious about that smile, they've got dental and orthodontics, which means braces, Invisalign, and some great deals going right now for new patients. Get Invisalign for as low as $59 a month for 60 months. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Kirby, the deep safety, jumps the route. Coming downhill, and the Lions get a short field. They punch it in the end zone. Dan Miller's call, a 52-point outburst for the Lions, and a comfortable win against the Titans. And I had to catch myself. I mean, this is the ultimate compliment. The fourth quarter was relevant. The end of that game, I'm like, am I getting bored? I can't be bored. I've waited my whole life for a team this good. I better not be bored. But the game had no drama late. And that's a compliment to the Lions that there was nothing to be afraid of. There was no tension at the end of that football game.
You find yourself being easily distracted.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, I was at LA's softball game. And the first half of the Lions game, I'm watching both. And then they come back from halftime. And I was intently watching for another 5 minutes. And then it was... I had the earbud in, and I was listening more than I was. I finally just flipped over to Dan Lomas and TJ, and closed the iPad and was just watching the game. And you become easily distracted in a game like that because it's just pure domination.
So early in the game, Taylor Decker, your breakdown of concern on the left side of the line.
The last 2 weeks, a little bit concerning. I do think he is a pro's pro, and Hank Fraley, I think, will get things fixed up front. He's no Penei Sewell. And we don't expect him to be Penei Sewell. He's going to be facing, really tough pass rushers. I'm not as concerned, I think, as some people are. The second sack, I believe it was the one that he, gave it up inside. To me, that one was more of a group sack. Because Jared Goff had to step up in the pocket, and it was one where should he have anticipated the inside move,
maybe,
or the fact that Goff was maybe some of that anticipation should be there, but I put that one more as an O-line sack than it is a Taylor Decker sack.
They gave him the extension, and I don't think a lot of people talked about he's not a young player, his best football may be behind him. That doesn't mean he can't give you a couple good productive years here. And I'm still in the camp of I think he's going to give you good productive years.
He's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's a pro's pro. And he understands that you can't be that guy that gives up two sacks in a game or four sacks in 2 weeks. Like, you just can't be.
Well, and I do think some of this is a good adjustment by the coaching staff. They said, all right, we're just going to run it early then. All right? Like, that's how you help an offensive lineman that maybe isn't having his best on the outside, right? And John, the 70-yard touchdown by Jahmyr Gibbs, you know where they ran it? Off tackle left. And Decker's block was, nothing like amazing, but he did a good job on that play. And I think that was a good call by the Ben Johnson to say, hey, let's get the defense on their heels a little bit. Let's not be playing,
That was more, obviously, Frank... and Glasgow.
Yes.
The ability to use that double team to get up to the linebacker, that was just a tremendous block. Untouched by human hands, and you go 70 yards. That was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, and I guess technically not off tackle because it was run between the tackle and the guard. But my point is left side, Decker got the kick out block. Yeah. Not to get too technical. 248-539-9797. Stu and Royal Oak, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say I don't want everyone to get, sucked in by the fool's gold of that 52 points. Malcolm Rodriguez still left the game. Our pass rush was abysmal, like everyone's pointing to. And, we still need to get help.
I know. Not I just wish they were a good team.
Are we now that organization that, we can just pluck and pull guys from our practice squad to fill in? Because if we don't get help, we don't have to go out and get Max Crosby or Myles Garrett, but we need some attention to the defensive line and the pass rush.
I think the Lions are very aware of that. I mean, Dan has mentioned it a couple of times, and that they're not getting enough production. So I don't ultimately know who they get. But I know that the phones are being worked, and they understand that, they realize that. I don't think they're glossing over that in either of these wins.
Yeah, and Stu, I don't think it's fool's gold in the sense that I think they're very aware of it. It's not like they're going to get high on their own supply here. I think they know what they still need to do, and I think it's encouraging that even though they're undermanned, they've come out and beat Minnesota in a big road game and then didn't have a letdown against Tennessee.
I'll give a ticket texter credit for this. I didn't realize this yesterday. The Patriots made Josh Uche a healthy scratch. And nobody really knows why. And some people are speculating that they held him out of the game because he's going to be dealt. But, just throwing something out there.
He's on the list of guys that could help you. Is he going to provide a much better pass rush than Pascal? Yeah, because that's what he does. He's not going to be much of a run defender. And you're not going to get the package that you lost when you lost Aiden Hutchinson. But what you need help with is obviously the pass rush.
Boston.com, Uche, they want a fifth-round pick as they shop him. John, sound good to you?
Sold.
All right.
Done today. So some people have said this is a two-layered thing. What if you acquired Uche this week, you go play Green Bay, you see how you look, and then you still got 2 days to make the deadline to go to compound and make that move number two?
So I'm not a big fan of let's plug this in and see. And because I don't think that the Lions are operating that way. We heard from Dan last week. It wasn't that they were, let's see how we look against Minnesota or let's see how we look against Tennessee and then we'll decide. They knew right away they need help on the edge position because you have no Davenport and you have no Aiden Hutchinson.
Okay, I got some popcorn over here. You had Uche this week. You win next week, but you're still not happy with what you got. The Bengals go and lose to the Raiders. Hey, Trey Hendrickson, come on over. You want to eat that popcorn?
Ideally, that would be wonderful.
To John's point, I don't think they're going to take one game, even ones where they win or they look okay, and say, we're going to ignore what our eyes tell us.
And I'm not going to sit here and buy into the fool's gold. Okay, we have 52 points in a game. That has nothing to do with defense. And if Dan hadn't addressed the need for edge after a big time win in Minnesota, then I might start wonder if do they see the same thing we're seeing. But that wasn't the case. Right. He addressed it. They're even more aware now, even though they won this game in dominant fashion. It wasn't because they were harassing Mason Rudolph.
Ticket Texture says DeMarcus Lawrence. Cowboys lost again. He's a power rusher. I'd have to look at his contract. This is just getting texted into us. He's hurt right now, but not expected to be out for much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have options, right?
They will, but they really need somebody on the edge.
Lawrence plays the edge, doesn't he?
You're not
saying he's like the
they need somebody. They need a speed to power, okay. Not necessarily another power guy. Because I believe if all you want to do is bull rush and collapse the pocket,
they've got those guys.
Yeah. All right. So it's just maybe a better version, a much better version of Josh Pascal, but it doesn't accomplish ultimately what they need to accomplish.
I think this is an encouraging thing that even when they win, they aren't lulled into a false sense of security. They've got 8 days till the trade deadline. They're winning, and it's good that they're winning while having these evaluations, as opposed to going, oh, we're letting this slip away while we canvass the market and lost this one and let this one get away. And now they're in first place in their division. They're in first place in the NFC. They're the best team in the NFC, arguably the best team in football, while still understanding and knowing their mortality and what they still need to do. Just got to deliver on it. 248-539-9797, 7 o'clock hour. We will work in some Michigan and Michigan State at 735. Weekend overreactions next, 97.1.